We're up to Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Chof Dalet. Okay, Mem Beis Chof Dalet. Mi Nosan L'Meshisa Yaakov. This is a question that Yishai is posing. Who has given over for plunder Yaakov? The Yisrael of Ozazim, Haloi Hashem. Why is it that the Jewish people find themselves in Golus? Why is it the Jewish people find themselves trampled upon and plundered? Well, Meshisa means to be stepped on, and Boizazim means robbed, plundered, and abused. Who has done this? Who has given over? Who has given instructions that the nations of the world have the power to trample upon the Jewish people and to rob them? Haloi Hashem. Everything that happens is through the will of Hashem. And then the pasuk goes on to say, why? Why did Hashem allow this to happen? Zu, this has happened to us because chatanu lo, we have sinned to Hashem. V'lo avu vidrachav holoch. We have to read the word avu together with the word holoch. V'lovu avu holoch vidrachav. That's how we were writing it. But they're not familiar with the complex nature of the psukim. We did not want to walk in the ways of Hashem. V'leshamu b'sura so'en. We did not want to listen to Hashem's Torah. And that's why this has happened to us. Pasuk Chafei. V'yishpoch olav chema apo. And therefore Hashem poured upon olav, upon him, upon the nation of Klal Yisrael, his anger. His two words, which mean the same thing, chema apo, ve'ezuz milchama, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon us the might of war. There is not only was there a war waged against the Jewish people, it was a mighty war, which means there were many casualties and many much loss. Vatilahatehu misaviv v'lo yoda, and Hashem ignited a fire on all sides surrounding us, v'lo yada, and we did not pay attention. We did not pay attention to what Hashem was doing. We'll read the mitzvahs in one moment, and then as things got worse, vativar bo, and then the fire spread within us. But still, v'lo yasim alev. There are two stages of fire in this pasuk. First is the fire was first ignited on the outside, misaviv, and then as things got worse, things progressed. It went to the point where it was vativar bo. The fire was burning within the Jewish people themselves. And in both of these stages, we did not take the hint. We did not do tshuva, v'lo yoda. We did not acknowledge that this has come upon us because of our sins. And further, when it got to the state of Ativ Abo, V'lo Yosem Alev, we did not take notice, another expression of V'lo Yoda, but same idea, we did not learn from our mistakes. Let's just read Mitzvahs, Tzir David, Pasuk Hafei. Pasuk Hafei, L'chein, therefore, L'chein, Neshavach Alav, Chema, Kasha, V'chesek, Mecham, because we did not follow in Hashem's ways. Hashem poured upon us war and anger. When we were punished, we said it's a coincidence. This is just a natural occurrence. You know, the economy goes up, goes down. It's not something which we should worry about. That was a very big mistake. When things started getting worse, right? Anytime there is a tzara, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu speaking to us and telling us to tshuva. When the fire was burning on us around us, we did not acknowledge that the fire that's surrounding us is coming from Hashem. He's telling us to do true before it's too late. Then when things got even worse and they started persecuting us, our own bodies, still im kol zeh. We did not pay attention when the tsar did not directly affect us, when the tsar was on the was coming, was at a distance, but we can sense that things are not going well. Very scary pasuk describing what happens during the time of Golus, all of the terrible sins that happened during Golus. All this again goes back to the Musr Hashem is giving to the people that have the ability to turn the tide, to the tzaddikim, to the people that that have chokhmah, the Jewish leaders, they have failed to use their powers and their influence and their talents to turn the tide, and instead they let the Jewish people backslide and sin, and the sin was so terrible, they were so blind, they did not even realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to warn them to do tshuva before it's too late. And there's a very famous medrash, especially if coming up again, Yom V'Yoma, Ben HaMetzarim in Eicha Rambah, about this pasuk of Minasan L'Meshisa Yaakov. Let me read the medrash for you word for word inside. Here's the medrash. Again, it's from Eicha Rambah. Ma'isa b'Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. There was this story with Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya Shalach L'Krach G'doyla Sheberom. He went on a tour. He went visiting. He had some business in Rome. And he went to visit Amrlo. And while he was there, they told him, you should know that there's a young Jewish boy that is locked up in a dungeon. And this young Jewish boy is in prison and he's in a state of disgrace. Holach l'sham, he went there, he went to the prison. He saw a beautiful little boy with beautiful eyes, v'tov roi, a beautiful appearance, uki v'utzosav, seduroslo, beautiful hair. I made the cologne, and he was there. He was dirty, filthy, in a shameful state. So the question was, Rishuv and Chananya, his dilemma was, should I redeem this young child? So what will you? Of course you should redeem the young child. What's the question? Mater Asurim. That's what we say in Davening. It's one of the pidyon shvuim, one of the most important mitzvahs to redeem. So the problem was that they wanted for him an enormous ransom. Enormous, enormous ransom. And the halacha is you're not allowed to redeem, to ransom prisoners more than their value. More than what's normal. Why? Because once the goyim realize that we're willing to pay an enormous amount of money to ransom, then they will seize, they will take advantage, and they will capture other individuals and hold them for ransom, and things will get worse. So Chazal said, don't do it. That was the big discussion with Rabbi Rahnberg. Rabbi Rahnberg was taken a prisoner and they wanted an enormous ransom, and they didn't want a ransom, and they were willing to pay an enormous amount of money to redeem him, and he did not allow them, and they said to him that this halach only applies for a regular person, but for the Gadol Hador it's different. Alright, but that's what they wanted to do here. They wanted an enormous ransom. So the question was, maybe there is a reason, there are grounds to ransom this child if the child is exceptional. So he wanted to test the child to see if the child is an exceptionally gifted child. So what did he do? The kara es pasuk hazeh. So what he did was he read this pasuk. He read the beginning of the pasuk from outside. It was Rabbi Shimon ben Chanan did not appear. He just stood outside the prison and he read the beginning of the pasuk. And he said, "Mi nosan lemeshisa yakoy v'yisrael avoizizim." Why did this happen? Our pasuk of Daled. Why is it that the Jewish people have been given over to have been trampled upon, and they have been plundered, have been robbed? In other words, why are you a victim of this crime? And the child responded. The child said, "Ana hatinuk acharav, haloi Hashem." The reason why this has happened is because it is Hashem's will. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. And why? So the child quoted the end of the pasuk. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya read the beginning of the pasuk, and the child responded on the tip of his tongue. He just said the end of the pasuk. At that point in time, Kevon Shashama Zos, Rabbi Yeshua, when he heard the child's response, what did he do? He said, "Karalav." B'nei Tzion Hayikadim Hamisuloim Bapaz. He says that what a beautiful child. The child is young, and he's such a young child, and right away the child is able to master the love of Sadin. He recognizes that the reason why he's suffering is because of the sins of Jewish people. They're compared to fine gold. The Zolgoil of the most, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, he cried. Avaman, he said, "Le'ani Shemayim Ba'aretz Shemuftach Ani B'zeh Shemoyre Hayra B'Yisrael." That this child will one day be a Moyre Hayra B'Yisrael. I swear by the Beis Hamikdash that I'm not going to leave until I redeem the child. Whatever they want, I'm going to give to redeem the child. And that is a very difficult halachic question of why he was allowed to do that, to redeem the child more than the child's value. As we know that you're not allowed to do that because you're not allowed to encourage the goyim to kidnap more Jews. He redeemed him. It says explicitly in the Medrash in Eicha Rabba, he spent an enormous amount of money. It was only a short time later. He became from the Gedolei Hadar. And who is this person? Manu, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. And we know Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, if not mistaken, was a Kohen Gadol. He turned into one of the Kohanim Gedolim, and he went to Lefnai v'Lefnim, and this is our famous Gemara, which has turned into a very popular song, the Pamachas Nechnasti Lefnai v'Lefnim, and I saw Akasriya Lekot Tzavokos Yosef v'Omar Barcheni. I only know the words from the song, I don't know from the Gemara. Barcheni. And you see what the song can do. So we have over here he was a Yishmael ben Elisha. He went lefnai lefnim. He saw Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyach, whatever that means. There's some type of tzura marev nevua, and Hashem asked him to give him a bracha, and he gave him a bracha. Kaviyach, it's an awesome gemara to understand what this means. He gave Hashem a bracha. The bracha to Hashem was that Yichvashu rachamecha eskasra. So dealing over here with a very special child, he had a very humble beginning. He started out in prison, and it all started with a pasuk in Yeshaya. All started with a child in prison, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya said the beginning of the pasuk, and he responded with the end of the pasuk. It's a very difficult medrash because what's the big deal? What's the significance of the pasuk? And today would be a very big deal because the child is not expected to know Yeshaya. Even adults, unfortunately, we're not fluent in Nevi'im. But it appears that those days, you know, this was common. Children and adults were fluent in the Tanakh, the Chafdal at Sifrei Tanakh. They can quote chapter and verse with no difficulty whatsoever. So what was the big deal? He said the beginning of the pasuk, and the child responded with the end of the pasuk. Why is this such a big deal? So the truth is, I don't have a really good answer. I don't have an answer. The only thing is Rav Schwab says something. He says something that lightens a little bit. It answers the question just a little bit by saying that you look at the trap of the pasuk. All the child should have said was Haloi Hashem. Okay, the pasuk begins. We see we have the pasuk inside. Minosan lemeshiso Yaakov Yisro levoizim. Who is the one that has given over for trampling and for plunder? Who? Klal Yisrael. Who has done this? Yaakov and Yisrael. That's all he said. Now that's not a place to stop. Because in the trop, in the ta'amim, there are two more words which can complete the expression. Or complete the sentence, the phrase. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya really should not have stopped. He should have continued Levoizazim Haloi Hashem. That's all part of the sentence. But he didn't, he stopped. So if the child is now going to conclude the sentence, if you take the average child, right, you go to Cheder, and the children are fluent in Tanakh, and you can quote any pasuk, and you would say the beginning expression, Minosan Lemeshisa Yaakov Yisrael Levoizazim. So the average child of the day would just conclude the next two words. Haloi Hashem! Hashem has done this. That's because that concludes the sentence, even though it's in our tradition. In our tradition, it's only half of a pasuk. Okay, now that's why it's a little bit difficult to have Shrava. I'm not exactly clear what he means, because you know, we have a tradition that called Psuk Pasak Moshe Analoi Paskinan. Okay, that's true in Chumash, in Chamish and Chumash Torah. I don't know how far that goes in Tanakh. I don't even know how far it goes to break up the Psukim. I don't know exactly how certain we are of the Mesorah of where the Psukim are broken up. Even in Chamish and Chumash Torah, there are those that are mafakfek if our Psukim are broken up according to the way they were given at Sinai. Rav Moshe, so I think Rav Moshe has a tshuva on this, Rav Moshe speaks about this, is that just because there are certain psukim which are very, very long, and Rav Moshe says that these very long psukim very well be that really the psukim are two psukim or three psukim in one pasuk, or whatever the case is. So, or let me just tell you what Rav Schwab says. Rav Schwab says that being that the pasuk, the sentence ends with the word Haloi Hashem, if you would test a child, an average child, in that day and age, and quote the beginning of the pasuk, you would expect him to finish the end of the sentence. You would not expect him to finish the end of, to go further. And being that this sentence, this expression, ends with the word Haloi Hashem, that would have been already an A student to say Haloi Hashem. But the child did not stop there. The child went further. The child went into the next pasuk. He said, Haloi Hashem, Zu chatanu lo v'le'ovu v'derecha v'alech v'loy shamu b'saraso. The child went further. And the child was quick to say, it's due to our sins. The child immediately acknowledged it was the sins of the Jewish people that caused him to be in this predicament. And that he recognized godless greatness in the child. Okay, so it's a little bit of an approach to understand, but obviously it's difficult and it needs more elaboration. But it's definitely something you should be aware of, because when you go, if you go to a kinnis on Tisha B'Av, you're certain to hear someone quote this Medrash Sheicha. This is a very popular Medrash. Okay, now we go to the next parak, Parak Mem Gimel V'Yatok. Now we can the Parak Mem Gimel is a continuation of the previous theme. And in this parak, Hashem says, even though we have described in the last number of psukim the terrible state that the Jewish people find themselves, where the fire, there's a fire burning all around, and there's a fire burning within, and the people are blind and they're deaf, and they don't know, they don't realize that the reason why the fire is burning from around them from within is because of their sins. And if they're not paying attention, it's expected that they'll just be destroyed. Hashem will pour out His full anger, and that will be the end. But Hashem here gives, that's why these are words of Nechama. Hashem says, even though that's really what should happen, I will have compassion upon the Jewish people, and I will not allow that to happen. There will be survivors. I will hold back my full anger. The Atah now, Koyam Hashem, Bo Ra'acho Yaakov, your creator Yaakov, the Yotzercha Yisrael, and the Yotzer of Yisrael. Two fascinating expressions. We know we say every single day in davening, Yotzer Or, Uvoyrei Choshech. So what's the difference between the word Yotzer and the word Boirei? So simply, Boirei means Yesh Me'ayin. You're dealing with ex nihilo. You're dealing with nothing, and from nothing you create something. It's a much more powerful expression to say Boirei. Bereishis Boro Elokim Eis HaShamayim V'Eis HaRetz. Hashem created from nothing Yesh Me'ayin. Period. Now that we have Yesh, there is matter. Then we take the matter, we form the matter. We mold it. We build upon what we have. That's the word yotzer, to form, to mold. A potter takes the clay, and the clay he forms into a vessel. The potter does not create a vessel, because the matter already exists. The potter takes the material, the raw material, and shapes it. And forms it, transforms it into something that is valuable, something which has a function. So here it's an incredible pasuk, because we have here Yaakov and we have here Yisrael. Yaakov is, so we go back to the davening. Yoitzer or uvori choshech. Choshech, darkness. Darkness is a creation. Many think that what is darkness? When you take away light, there's darkness. We move light, go into a dark room, shelter on all four sides, and it's not transparent, so there's darkness. No, that's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light is all encompassing. It conquers everything. In order that there can be darkness, Hashem had to create something called darkness. Darkness is not the absence of light. Darkness is a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about light? What about everything else in this world where there is light, there is aura, there is functionality, there is accomplishment? That is just a shaping, a yitzira, a forming of the aura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is the default, that exists by default. So aura, yotzer aura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his aura, which is his essence, and he forms it in many different ways. He creates people, he creates animals, he creates different situations, and all of these situations all give honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a yitzira. Darkness, galus, churban, saros, that is not something which is natural to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create, yesh me'ayin. So here we take that theme and we go to this pasuk here. We have Yaakov and we have Yisrael. Yaakov refers to the Golus Jew. Yaakov is the Jew in Golus. Yisrael represents the Shlemus of Klal Yisrael, where they achieve perfection at the time when there's a Beis Hamikdash, when there's a Geula. And the words are matched that Yaakov is a Beriah. Why? Because that's not what Hashem wants. Just like darkness is, that's not natural to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is or. In order for there to be darkness, there should be an absence of Hashem Shechina. There is Golus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to create such a Metzias. Yaakov is the status of Klal Yisrael in Golus, where there is no Shechina, where we're lost, we're helpless. How could that be? How could there be such a thing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to create it. It requires more effort on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for such a thing to exist. But when Klal Yisrael is in the state of Yisrael, of Shlemus, where the Shechin is resting, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is natural to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yotzer Or is Yisrael. Golos is Boirei Choshech. That is Yaakov. Yaakov is Klal Yisrael in the state of Golos. So these two words, it's a fascinating pasuk which fits into this theme of Yetzira and Bria in the relationship between Klal Yisrael and their different states. Baracha Yaakov Yotzer Yisrael.
I think in Kabbalah there's another one also. It's Asiya. Bria, Yetzira, and Kartzufim.
I'm not familiar. I hear what you're saying, though. I'm not familiar with how Asiya comes into the picture, but it's very interesting.
And also, now in physics, out there in the universe, there's more black than there is white.
Okay.
And physicists are now calling it the black matter. It's not just the absence of light.
It's a creation. It's a bria.
Right.
Coming around to acknowledge. By Choshech, the ten makas, second place makas, Choshech. So by Yom, the Yomesh Choshech. It was a Choshech that you can feel, you can sense. So over there, I don't know the details, but it's discussed. What is Choshech? Choshech is a Beriah, it's a Yesh. The Yomesh. Yomesh Lashon of Yesh. Mamoshus. It's a creation, not just an absence of darkness.
But it's a very current theory
in physics.
That there's actual black matter. And it's bigger than the white matter.
Yeah, because it's a Beriah. It's a Beriah. Or is only a Yetzirah. It's just a forming. It's a lesser degree of creation than darkness. Okay, Altira. So here the pasuk continues and says, the Beriah of Yaakov, Yotzercha Yisrael, Altira, do not be afraid. Now, Altira is going back on the previous parak, do not be afraid that you find yourself in this situation of galus, of churban, of fire burning on all sides and within you. Because ki gialticha, because I have redeemed you, and this means in the past, gialticha is the past tense, and that just like I have redeemed you in Egypt, where you found yourself in such a situation of the 49 levels of tumah, had you slipped a little bit more into the 50th level of Tumah, would have been too late because no one could have redeemed you at that point in time, and yet I stepped in and I redeemed you, and you were in the, so here in the future or during the period of time that you find yourself in Golus, don't worry, it will never happen that I will allow you to disappear. Ki gialticha, I have redeemed you in the past. Karasi v'shimcha, I've called out your name. Li ato, you are mine. Let's see the mitzudos. Ki gyalticha, mitzudos the pasuk aleph right in the middle. Ki gyalticha, ki haloi mimitzrayim gyalticha. Is it not true that when you were in Egypt, I redeemed you? The karasi oz b'shimcha, and I called out in your name, sha'ata shali, and I told you, you're my people, you're mine, you're my nation. Ubnei b'chori, you are my firstborn, you are my firstborn, so therefore you have nothing to worry about, you have nothing to worry, don't do that. That's why these parakim are in words of nechama. Hashem is saying that I'll not allow you to disappear. Pasuk beis, ki savor b'mayim, even if you'll come to a situation in history where the nations of the world will try to drown you in water, don't worry. Itcha oni, I am with you. Uvanaharos lo yish tefucha, I will not allow you to drown in rivers. Kiselech b'mo esh, b'mo means in. It's an unusual b'mo. If you'll travel, if they'll put you in fire, don't worry. Lo si kove, you will not be burnt. Vilehava, and a flame, lo sivar bach, will not have the power to burn you, to destroy you. So Hashem says, do not worry. Let's read over here. Let's read the Rashi. Let's see what the Rashi says. Kisavar b'mayim, kishavarta b'yamsof itcho yisi. So here, according to Rashi, Rashi is learning this the past tense. He's saying, just like in the past, when I took you through out of Egypt, and I had you pass through the Yamsuf, you passed through water. Kishavar to Yamsuf, you were with me. Uvin haros lo yishtafuch, meaning from the Rashi, garsa ben hamitzrim v'umos hamerubim k'moy nahar v'lo yichlu l'cha l'chalois. So here Rashi learns that the river refers to the current. The current, the power of the nations of the Egyptians in the past and the other nations of the world, although they've tried very hard with a force, with a current that's as strong as a powerful river to sway you and to drown you, look, you've always survived. You're still here to talk about it. Next Rashi. Kiselech v'moyesh. Now this Rashi does acknowledge that this refers to the future. La'asid lavo ki hine hayom bo boer katanur sha'akdir chama al harishon v'liyit oisam hayom haba gam sham lo tichves. So this Rashi says refers to la'asid lavo, they're referring to the time when Hashem will take out the chama min artikya from its sheath, and the sun will burn and destroy the wicked. So the concern of the pasuk is, what's going to be with the tzaddikim? Just because when the fire is going to come out to destroy the Rishayim, the fire is so powerful, all-consuming, should we not be concerned that the tzaddikim will also perish in this enormous heat? And here it says, no, do not worry, you will not burn in this heat. And we can learn from the past, just like in the past, we did not drown in the Yam Suf, we did not drown against in the current of the nations of the world that are compared to the rivers, so too in the future, when Hashem will destroy the Rishayim in this great fire that was mentioned in Malachi, we have nothing to be concerned about. This is how Rashi learned. Let's see how the Mitzvot learns. He learns a little bit differently. He's pasuk beis, kisav b'mayim v'siyah kav liyos nitba b'hem, when you pass through water, uvenaharos afim tavo benaharos hashtufim v'lo yishtafucha loysich v'lo yisiyah nichve minoeish v'afa halehav v'lo yivar bachot zlemer afim tiyah b'oimek hatzaros lo tichle shama. According to the Mitzvot, everything, all three parts of the pasuk of the water, the rivers, and the fire refer to the future. It does not necessarily refer to La'asilava, it refers to the Zman Hazeh. It refers to the difficult tsaris, the pogroms, all of the tsaris of our Jewish history, that there will always be the Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker, there will always be a remnant of Klal Yisrael, of course, and we all know that, unfortunately, not everyone made it. Holocaust, Spanish Inquisition, and you have Tach V'Tatz, and you have all of the things of the Crusades. But Klal Yisrael as a whole, the Netzach Yisrael Yishaker, and that's what it's still here, you will survive. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Ki ani Hashem Elokecha, because I am Hashem your God. Kidosh Yisrael Moshiacha, the Holy of Yisrael is your Savior. Nasati, now this is an amazing pasuk. I don't know what this means. I really don't understand what this means, and I don't know if I'm supposed to know what this means. Nosati chof richa mitzrayim kush usva tachtecha. Okay, again, I repeat for the third time. I don't know what this means. But the concept here is that when a person is guilty, someone's got to pay. There's no free lunch. What does it mean there's no free lunch? It may be free for you, but someone's paying. The government is paying. That's how it is. Someone always has to pay for everything. When it comes to sin, if Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael have sinned, they're deserving of punishment, there has to be payment, there has to be punishment. Who's going to pay? So Hashem says, you're not going to pay. I'm going to direct my anger, my punishment, on a replacement, on the Egyptians, upon the nation of Kush Usva. And now this means, we'll read the words of Rashi and Tzitzis in a moment, just like in Egypt, when the Jewish people, they sinned, they were holding at the 49th level of Tumah, that means that they sinned. They came to Egypt, 70 neshamos, the children of Yaakov Avinu, the grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu, they were tzaddikim gemurim, and in 210 years they took a deep nosedive, and they turned into people that with the malachim said, why do they merit redemption? Halalu ovdei avodah zarah, v'halalu ovdei avodah zarah. What's this all about? And they were right. So Hashem said, no, I still want to redeem them for whatever reason. Fine. But someone's got to pay the bill. Who's going to pay? The Egyptians. Instead of pouring out my anger on the Jewish people, I will pour out that anger that I would have poured out upon them, upon the Egyptians. Let's go to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu, we spend so much time studying Chizkiyahu. Sanherib is at the gates of Yerushalayim. The only reason why they were able to come to the gates of Yerushalayim and besiege the city and cause enormous difficulty was because the Jewish people were deserving of punishment, because indeed they did sin. And it should have happened that they would have been conquered. Hashem said, no, I'm not going to allow this to happen. Chizkiyahu is a tzaddik. He has influenced the people in a good way. They're doing tshuva, they're learning Torah, and I'm not going to allow them to be destroyed. But someone has to pay the bill for all of the sins that have been committed. You know who's going to pay the bill? Two nations. There's a nation called Kush, and there's a nation called Swaf. Remember, as Sanherib came to conquer Yerushalayim, Rav Shake got word from Sanherib, we have an emergency on our hands. Kush and Mitzrayim and Sva are rebelling. So before we come and we go in for the kill and we capture the crown jewel of the world, of Yerushalayim, and establish ourselves as the world conquerors, we have to take a detour and conquer Mitzrayim, Kush. It says they're Kush. I don't know, so it says there, it says Sva also, so it could be this also part of Kush, another nation. I'm not exactly familiar with the details. They have to be dealt with. And Rav Shaki tells Chizkiyahu, don't think that you escaped. Don't worry, we're coming back. We'll be back soon. And indeed they went, they captured Mitzrayim and Kush, and then they came back, and then the miracle happened. That was a blessing for Klal Yisrael. Why was that a blessing for Klal Yisrael? Because in the process of conquering Mitzrayim and Kush, they were extremely wealthy. They brought, when they plundered all of the spoils of Mitzrayim and Kush, and they loaded themselves up with gold and silver and treasures and all of these delicacies and all of these things, and then they brought them all to Yerushalayim to conquer Yerushalayim. Suddenly 185,000 generals died with all of their soldiers, and they opened up the door, and what's in front of them? All the gold, the silver, all of the spoils of Mitzrayim and Kush were brought to their front door, the front door of Yerushalayim. So that's what it says here. The sins that the Jewish people deserved the punishment that they deserved at that time was poured upon Kush and Mitzrayim and Sva. Let's see the words inside. Pasuk Gimel. Let's see Rashi first. Nosati, I have given kofricha, your kapara, your exchange, your pidyon, your idel. Like, you know, we do kaparos. What's kaparos on Erev Yom Kippur? It's pidyon. Let this bird go in my place. It's going to go l'shchita, and I'm going to go l'chaim. It'll be my exchange. V'heim ha'yu, Rashi says, v'heim ha'yu l'cha l'pidyon. So first, the Egyptians and Mitzrayim she'b'chareihem mesu. Their firstborns died. V'ata b'ni b'chari nitzalta. You, my b'ni b'chari, were saved. Incredible. Really, Klal Yisrael is called the B'nai B'chari Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is called the firstborn of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should have perished. Klal Yisrael is the B'chor of Klal Yisrael. By the way, this is very important. Why is Klal Yisrael called B'chor? B'chor means there's more than one son. There are two sons. The firstborn is the B'chor. Who else are called the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is a fascinating Yisod, I'm telling you. I saw the thing of Chaim Kanievsky said, if I'm not mistaken, he says this. Why is Klal B'ni B'chorei Yisrael? You, my children, Klal Yisrael, are my firstborn. You only use the word B'chor if there is another child. You differentiate the firstborn from the other. So who are the other children? The Malachim. Because the Malachim in Tanakh are called B'nei Elokim. There are many references in Tanakh, in Chazal, they're called the B'nai Elohim, the children of God, the Malachim. Klal Yisrael is also called a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Klal Yisrael, relative to the Malachim, is the Bukhar. We're the chosen ones. We're the firstborns compared to the Bukhar. So we have two children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim and Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the Bukhar. Klal Yisrael has sinned. They're deserving of punishment. Who will be the Pidyon? Not the Bukhar, another Bukhar has to be the Pidyon. Who's not going to be the Malachim? It's going to be the firstborns of the Egyptians. So this pasuk, according to Rashi, is giving us awesome insight into Makos Bukharos. Makos Bukharos wasn't just stam a punishment, it was Pidyon for Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? I have no idea. How does that work? If we sin and we're deserving of punishment, someone else pays the bill. Why? Are they deserving? If they're deserving, so let them be punished in their own right. How could it be they're being punished because, I mean, they're deserving in their own right? But why does that relate to my punishment? But that's what it says. Okay, look at the Mitzudos. He says something very similar. Mitzudos, Pasuk Gimel. In Egypt, you were guilty, and you were deserving of punishment. And what happened? They were destroyed in your place. Here's a fascinating mitzudos. Kasher Sancheriv, son pun of Lilachim, be Yerushalayim. When Sancheriv set his face to conquer Yerushalayim, Yatsa Lilachim bitchila. Im Kosh Usva. Now the Pesukim record Mitzrayim, but here he mentions Kosh Usva. The Avdu Bim Koimecha. They were destroyed in your place. Veheim Hayu Lucha Lepidyon. Incredible Chiddush. Now I remember seeing that. That's what we say on the Yomim Noirahim. Ma'avirin Es Roya HaGezerah. Right at the end of the Sana Taikef. So how does it go? The end of the Sanat Taikev? At the very end, Ushuva Utstaku Svila Usheshuva Utstaku Sila Ma'avirin Es Roya HaGezer. Now, what is it? How do we commonly translate Ma'avirin? It caused it to go away. It's atoned. We give Shuva Utstaku Tzila. It disappears. The sin, the bill is canceled. No such thing. It says here, someone's got to pay. There's no free lunch. Someone has to pay the bill. Who's paying the bill? I once saw this. I repeat for the fourth time. I don't understand what this means. I don't know if anyone really knows what this means. It's a very difficult concept. Ma'avir means that what we are deserving of is transferred. Ma'avirin is transferred. Ma'avirin literally means is transferred to someone else. Who's that someone else? I don't know. Someone, some far part of the world, there's going to be a pidyon, a redemption, for what we are deserving. Why should that person in some far corner of the world that we don't even know, why should they suffer the gruesome punishment that we are deserving of receiving? That's we don't understand how these things work. If they're deserving to be punished in their own rights, so be it. What does it have to do with us? But that's what it says. Ushuvu silu tzedakah causes the bill to be paid by someone else. It's explicit here in the pasuk according to Rashi and according to the Mitzudos, and it's all also the perish of the nusach hatfilah of the Yomim Noraim, and the deeper understanding of what that means, we obviously don't really understand. Okay, we'll stop here.